Welcome to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast. I'm Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss a new study by Norton et al. Titled Role of Paravascular Nerve and Sensory Neurotransmitter Dysfunction in Inflammatory Bowel Disease. This article was published March 12, 2021. Joining me today are host Camilla Wenceslau, senior author Erica Borman, and expert Pune Badger. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. Welcome to our listeners and to Erica and Pune to this discussion of this interesting paper on inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD. This work is highly relevant to our large segment of people in the developed world. We know that changes in the gut or the intestinal function is associated with cardiovascular disease. And based on CDC data, about 3 million Americans have IBD. This is a huge number. And about 7,000 cases, new cases, are diagnosed every year. Interestingly, the American College of Cardiology suggested that younger IBD patients, or between the ages of 18 and 24, had about 9 times the risk of heart attack compared to their peers or in the same age group who didn't have IBD. What is less clear, however, is the effect of vascular function in the pathogenesis and treatment of IBD. This brings us to the significance of this beautiful work. Erica, let's get started by your explaining the rationale for this study, an overview of the methods, and the pertinent finds. Erica?
Thank you so much for that introduction. That's a perfect intro to the work we've been doing. This is actually my first big published study on my IBD work, so I'm really excited about it. And you highlighted one of the things that primarily got me interested in this, which is that there's a huge increase in risk for cardiovascular disease in IBD patients. And that's despite a significant decrease in traditional risk factors. These patients don't have high cholesterol, high blood pressure, they're not typically overweight. And so you don't see any things that normally would make somebody more likely to have heart disease. The other thing that I found really interesting is that decreased blood flow to the gut is extremely common in IBD, and enough so that it's actually considered diagnostic for the disease. So we've known for a long time that we have this decrease in blood flow, but there's really very little research about what's going on. And coming from a vascular background, at the time I was kind of getting to the end of my postdoc and looking to branch out into a new area, I thought that this is exactly the kind of research I want to go into. And I kind of took the ball and roll with it from there. We know that there's this decrease in blood flow, but we don't know the mechanism behind it. And so I was interested in looking at the function of perivascular sensory nerves, because those nerves, when activated, increase blood flow to the gut. So because we know that there's a decrease in GI blood flow with IBD, it would stand to reason that maybe there's something happening with the perivascular sensory nerves. So that was kind of the primary hypothesis of this paper. First, that sensory neurotransmitter and vasodilation are negatively impacted with IBD. And then the second part of the hypothesis is that there might be an imbalance in the two sensory neurotransmitters. And to expound on that a little bit, the two transmitters released when you activate sensory nerves are calcitonin gene-related peptide, or CGRP, and substance P. And we know based on literature from IBD that those are actually somewhat considered biomarkers for the disease. So people who have high serum levels of CGRP that have IBD tend to have better outcomes and less severe disease. And people who have high levels of substance P tend to have worse outcomes and worse disease. So kind of the second part of our hypothesis is that there might be an imbalance in these transmitters when you activate the sensory nerves. And we propose that there's a shift towards a more substance P-mediated response. And the primary technique we use to study vessels functionally is called pressure myography. And so what we do is hand dissect out mesenteric arteries and cannulate them onto glass pipettes. This is a very common technique in vascular physiology. And then you can study them as though they're in the body. And to mimic activation of sensory nerves, as well as sympathetic nerves. Those are the nerves that vasoconstrict arteries. We can stimulate those vessels electrically with two electrodes that are inside of the bass of the rig we use. And all of this work was done in a mouse model, an IL-10 knockout model. So IL-10 is an important anti-inflammatory cytokine. And if you knock that out and then introduce an inflammatory challenge, in our case, Helicobacter hepaticus, those mice develop significant colitis. And so when we studied those vessels, we first look at sympathetic vasoconstriction and found mild inhibition of sympathetic vasoconstriction, but really not much of a significant difference. And in contrast, when we looked at sensory vasodilation, we found that it was almost eliminated in vessels from mice with IBD. So that was evidence that there was significant impairment. And then from there, we did some more experiments to look at what was happening with the nerves themselves. So when you see a decrease in sensory vasodilation, there's a few questions we asked. One, is there a difference in the nerves themselves? Are there less nerves? And we answered that question with some confocal microscopy staining for CGRP, substance P, and then tyrosine hydroxylase to label sympathetic nerves. And we found that there was not a significant decrease in any of the sensory nerve markers. So no change in CGRP or substance P positive nerves, which is not what we expected. And actually, surprisingly, we found a significant decrease in sympathetic nerves. So based on that, you would think, if anything, it would be easier to dilate those vessels. So nerve density didn't appear to play a role. We also did just sort of some straight concentration response curves for both CGRP and substance P to see whether, if we provided the exogenous transmitter, if then we could see vasodilation to those. And CGRP vasodilation was largely retained in IBD, but in contrast, even if we provide the neurotransmitter, substance P was largely unable to significantly dilate the vessels. So that data suggests that whatever is happening seems to be more related to substance P than to CGRP, which is consistent with our initial hypothesis. And then sort of the experiment that was the most interesting, it's the last data figure in the paper. What we wanted to do is do our electrical field stimulation to look at sensory vasodilation, but block either substance P or CGRP receptors to see what the relative contribution is of each neurotransmitter, to see if indeed we go to a more CGRPergic or substance Pergic response with IBD. We found a really interesting and unexpected response, which is that if you block substance P receptors and then stimulate sensory nerves, you actually rescue sensory vasodilation in those IBD vessels. So that was really interesting to us. Also, there's this interesting phenomenon happening where the substance P pathway seems to be sort of interfering with CGRP vasodilation and preventing normal sensory vasodilation. And that's sort of where we're at now. We need to do more follow-up studies to understand the mechanism of that inhibition. Based on things we've done subsequently and things we've read in the literature, I think there's a strong chance that an influx of immune cells into the gut wall and interactions of sensory neurotransmitters with those immune cells plays a role in what we saw, but we haven't yet completed that kind of work to show that definitively. And I hope that gives a clear summary of what we found.
Wow, that's a great work. Thank you, Erica. Pune, as a vascular biologist, can you comment a little bit on the mechanisms that impact reduced blood flow and tissue ischemia, such as gut ischemia leading to IBD?
Sure. Thanks, Camilla. One thing to keep in mind in regard to mechanisms of altered blood flow is that blood flow to a given tissue is regulated by small changes in diameter in the arteries and arterioles that feed that tissue. Changes in diameter occur due to the interplay between the cells that make up the vascular wall. There are three cell types examined in the study by Erica and her colleagues. The first cell type, endothelial cells, line the lumen of the vessel. The second cell type are smooth muscle cells, and these cells wrap around the endothelial cells. Contraction and relaxation of smooth muscle cells is crucial to vasoconstriction and vasodilation, respectively. And finally, perivascular nerves. Perivascular nerves are a meshwork of nerves that encapsulate the smooth muscle cells. Although smooth muscle cells can respond to intrinsic signals, they also respond to signals from the endothelial cells and the perivascular nerves. One of the things I found most interesting about the work from Erica and her colleagues is that they looked at all of these cell types, but they focused in particular on the sensory nerves, which are a subtype of perivascular nerve. The fact that they identified differences in IBD suggests that this subtype of perivascular nerve can possibly contribute to the progression of IBD, and targeting of these nerves can have therapeutic potential.
Thank you, Pune. Erica, you observed that endothelial dysfunction in small arteries are present in mice with IBD. However, the loss of acetylcholine response or acetylcholine or endothelial dysfunction in your study is quite minor when you compare to the 75% loss of acetylcholine-mediated vasodilation observed in human arteries with IBD. Can you comment if the reasons why, if any, human arteries seems to be more sensitive to change during IBD?
Yes. So I think that there's essentially two explanations that you can go to when looking at the differences in terms of what we found versus other studies in human vessels in terms of acetylcholine responses and endothelial dilation. The most obviously is species differences. So we used a mouse model of IBD. And you also have to look at changes based on the specific model of IBD that we're using. So we're using an IL-10 knockout model. That's an immune-based model, which I think mimics human disease fairly closely. But I think part of the reason some of the murine studies that we see so much endothelial dysfunction is that they use what I call chemical injury models, or things like DSS or TNBS, that tend to physically injure the endothelial cells. But kind of moving beyond that point, and what I think is the most likely explanation, is that most of those human studies use vessels, microvessels from the gut wall itself. And those are very small vessels inside of the gut, whereas we're looking upstream in much larger vessels that are resistance arteries perfusing the gut. And I think it's entirely possible that the mechanism of vascular dysfunction is different between the vascular bed in the wall itself and upstream in the larger vessels that perfuse the gut.
Thank you, Erica. Pune, do you have any questions to Erica?
Erica, based on your findings, perivascular nerves may represent a novel target for the treatment of IBD. Can you comment on how we or physicians can treat perivascular nerves in patients with IBD?
Yes, so that's an extremely loaded and tough question. I think that there are possible ways to target sensory nerve function. I think that pharmacologically, it would make more sense to target the receptors for those neurotransmitters than to look at the nerves themselves. So in murine models, you can do sensory denervation. That's something that has been studied, and it does, in some mouse models, increase quality of life and essentially decrease IBD symptoms. Nobody's looked at it in terms of vascular function, but that's something we're hoping to do. But if you look on kind of a whole body level, sensory denervation will do a lot more than just affect, you know, blood flow during IBD. And so it's difficult for me to comment on what would happen in a human subjected to sensory denervation. I think a more realistic option would be to try and target endothelial substance P receptors, or based on some of the insights that we've gained on interactions between CGRP and substance P and immune cells that then infiltrate the vessel wall, I think that it would be a good idea to modulate the interaction between sensory neurotransmitters and adjacent macrophages in the vessel wall.
Thank you, Erica. I think that's a wrap. I would like to thank you again for your participation and for supporting AJP, Heart and Circulatory Physiology. Thank you very much. See you soon and stay safe.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the AJP Heart and Circ podcast. After more than 10 years and 272 episodes, we thought it might be time to give our theme music a little refresh. Special thanks to Ray Mitchell for writing and performing our new theme music. Catch the latest episode of our podcast at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.